Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead, and with me today is our leading lady, Sharon Link, who is the CEO of Leadership Via Design. And our topic today is on boldly frame your organization's future leadership via instructional design. So, Sharon, welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, Michelle. How are you?
Oh, good to have you on the phone. And I know that was a lot of words in the title. I'm like, you are a PhD and a smarty pants. I know so many things about corporate learning and e-learning. I can't wait to talk about it. But, you know, we have listeners from throughout the U.S. and small business owners. And I'm kind of curious because I came from corporate America. But can you share what is instructional design so that all of our listeners can kind of really have a good, you know, idea of what we're going to be talking about today?
Okay, so basically instructional design is the development of training programs or learning programs using adult learning theory and ADDIE, which is analysis, design, development, implementation, and evaluation, for the purpose of teaching goals, needs, and development in the for the organization. So
wow.
Whatever the organization has to teach, and it's a there's a multiplicity of this. So when we look at organizations, there's onboarding programs. There's the actual nuts and bolts of what the organization does for newcomers. When newcomers come in, maybe they have to learn Java in order to be good at their jobs, the Java code programming. So they can come in to one of the e-learning courses or whatever the learning is that the organization is doing, and they have the opportunity to gain that knowledge through industry practice or and industry courses.
Gotcha. And, you know, I know you were telling me before, you know, how powerful, you know, learning is from an industry standpoint. And when I think of learning, it's like, you know, I'm old fashioned. I think of face-to-face, classroom setting, you know, people in bodies and chairs. And you shared some information with me is how e-learning is really just going crazy as far as a booming market potential. Can you share a little bit of, I mean, what is e-learning and what kind of potential is there? Because you shared some numbers with me.
Oh,
I went, wow.
Yeah, it's just huge. So more and more companies, what they're doing is they're purchasing a learning management system like Saba or Blackboard or Cornerstone On Demand. That's one. I couldn't think of the on demand part. But or Desire to Learn. And so these learning management systems a lot of times cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and learning is being developed through e-learning tools like Storyline 2, Articulate Studio, to create opportunities and courses for individuals within the company to learn through that on-the-go training. So it's becoming more and more prevalent. While there's always going to be instructor-led training for some of the nuts and bolts, a lot of training now is being delivered through e-learning. And I'm actually really passionate about that. When we look at the global e-learning market, it's expected to reach $107 billion by this year. The global self-paced e-learning market reached $32.1 billion in revenue in 2010 with a five-year compound annual growth rate of approximately 9.2%.
That is a lot of powerful numbers. It is huge. And you were telling me, too, it's like, share with our listeners, you know, you were saying that I think organizational development, it's a lot of women that are in that kind of, you know, profession in OD and organizational development. What are you finding that the opportunities are internally within organizations for instructional design? You were sharing some of that with me. Kind of share with our listeners, well, where might they find some opportunities with jobs?
Okay, so right now on Simply Hired, there are over 30,000 jobs available in instructional design. And a lot of times what in the workforce, we have women who are returning to the workforce or new women coming into the workplace. And this is an excellent entry point into an organization through instructional design, which is the teaching other people to do stuff. I mean, I think that women are natural teachers. I'm going to tell you that that's where I came from. I came from the classroom, and I wanted to go into more corporate environments. I got my PhD in leadership with this emphasis in organizational development, and I found an appropriate niche to be able to go into Fortune 500s, and I mean really big companies, Michelle, like Weight Watchers and Columbia University of New York City and Celgene Pharmaceutical. Big companies that need, that they have these online corporate training initiatives or ILT initiatives, and they need people to go in and teach these classes. They need to develop the content, and they need somebody to deliver the content. And I can just see, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I mean, first of all, exciting stuff. And the thing, like, I'm sorry I interrupted, but I will anyway, it's what I do. Is I was thinking as you were talking about this, I was going, now I want to visualize it because in my mind, instructional design from an e-learning standpoint, I mean, what I'm thinking of, it's more than just PowerPoint slides, am I right? I mean,
yes.
Instructional design,
yes,
is
much
comprehensive.
More.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about how it's more than that. I mean, it's not just, you know, a bunch of slides that are being moved, you know, strategically through a webinar or something like that. There's so many things that e-learning can do to bring in visuals and videos, and talk a little bit about that so our listeners get excited about it.
Okay, so this is why I developed the Instructional Design Certificate Program. I could see this need, and I wanted to help empower other women to go from maybe an academic environment or train new people coming into the workforce to go get some of these corporate jobs. And I'm personally passionate about the technology. And that's something that I really teach in my certificate program. So I created this partnership with Brandman University as a sole proprietor to go and become a curriculum partner to deliver accredited graduate level credits for women entering the workplace. So my courses, I teach currently through my own delivery system, a 4-course program that it offers a certificate at the end with an optional 5th course. The courses can be taken individually. They can be broken out as workshops. But I teach the conceptual foundations and skills necessary to design more reliable, and appropriate ways to integrate learning goals and corporate objectives for the workplace.
And share some things with me, like what are some of the things that companies are looking to bring on to do, you know, onboarding of employees, you know, obviously updates on operating procedures and things like that. And there's so many ways training is being done in corporate America. What are some other ways that there is learning going on in the workplace?
Well, I can tell you right now, I'm working on a project that it's a 23-module course for a very well-known corporation in desire to learn and for Java, to teach new people coming into the organization how to code. And this is a far-out team. It's spread from the Philippines to Bangalore. It's got an assortment of project management kinds of pieces to it. And I have developed the environment in the learning management system. I'm creating the interface. I'm creating all of the coding some of the coding that goes with it for the front end part. And that's just one of many pieces. There are soft skills that people want to teach. They're using avatar technology in some organizations. People are getting an avatar and they're going in and they're having this learning interface through those avatars. So it's, I mean,
okay,
it's just
you got to describe what an avatar is in learning, because I'm like, you stopped me at that one. What's an avatar? That's hysterical.
Okay, so it's like it's an online persona. People are using a technology called Crazy Talk. They're assigning it. They're creating an animation of themselves, and then they're going in and they're actually learning through those interfaces. So there's a company
cool.
in New York that they're using. It's called Cognito. And they use avatars for the purpose of teaching different types of instruction. And what's nice about it is it takes a complex issue or something that's really complicated that maybe people don't want to address in the workplace, and it creates an opportunity to learn something about that interface or that type of difficult to approach subject that takes it so that it's less personal.
Wowza. And, you know, I got to ask you a question. Like, how in the heck did you get into this type of business? I mean, you are a PhD. Full disclosure to our listeners. That's why I said you're a smarty pants, you know, because you're credentialed. But how did you get into this as a business?
Well, okay. So I love learning, and I come from learning, from a learning atmosphere. And I taught children for a very long time. And I decided in 2009 that I wanted to be an online teacher. That's what I decided in 2009. That's what I wanted to do. And so mm-hmm. I called this lady at Brandman University out of the blue. And I said, my son is autistic. He's 20 years old and now, but at the time he wasn't. And I had created this nonprofit and done all of this other work around autism and decided that I wanted to create a certificate in effective strategies for the autistic student. So I called her up and she said, you know, I've been wanting to do this. Let's do this online. And she handed me four empty shells. That's what they call the environment that they give you. And it was a learning and management system called eCollege. I'd never touched any of it. And I'm the kind of person who just got into it and built out the environment and decided it was something I really liked. And then in 2010, my husband and I moved to New York City. And I started getting these invitations from different companies to do instructional design work. And at that point, I kind of knew what it was, and it was something I had thought of in the back of my mind. This is really what I wanted to go do, but I didn't quite understand all of the practice. And so I basically taught myself how to do all of these different pieces, incorporating my vast background in education and administration, human resources, leadership, organizational development, and put this into practice. And then my husband happens to be a programmer, software developer. And so we naturally just have, like, if you look at where I'm sitting right now, we've got like 8 computers and so, and all kinds of access to different technologies. And I'm passionate about learning. I love to learn. And so became immersed in it.
Yeah, and I mean, your whole voice lights up when you talk about it. And I'm really curious just from the standpoint of instructional design. And you mentioned, you know, a few years here, that I'm curious, you know, post-2008, it's like, what is the environment? What has it been like? I mean, are companies, like, looking for instructional designers? Because I would think that But under that umbrella, with everybody being laid off, and it's like, you know, the first to go is always training and development. So I'm curious, why is it so much on the rise? Is it because, give me your 2 cents on why that is, because you would think with people being laid off, there's not a lot of opportunities.
So let's look at this from an organizational systems perspective, mm-hmm. we'll just look at it from my passion of organizational life cycle theory. When we look at where organizations are situated in terms of their development, they're undergoing rapid change. Yes, the landscape has really changed for what organizations are experiencing and what they're going through. They need to learn. Organizations, in order to survive, must learn. The old practices that used to be embraced are going away. The ways that we used to do business are really radically changing. And so learning is the only successful way to really implement those changes effectively, to develop the organization. And that is really one of my huge main areas of focus is, you know, getting at under helping organizations appropriately train them through customized learning and development programs, helping them build internal resilience through analyzing their own processes and changing their practices. That's really where the rubber meets the road. And I know that's a lot, but it really, you know, all of this incorporates understanding, you know, we're changing. We have to understand how we're changing. We need to understand, you know, the solid and the frozen and the unfrozen parts of that change. And
that's good information, and I like that. And, you know, well, what's interesting is, and I'm kind of curious, like, what are some of the main, you know, topics or areas that companies are looking for e-learning on? I mean, is it on, you know, how-to types of things internally in an organization? Is it on soft skills? What are some of the, like, I guess, really popular courses are you seeing that companies are looking for right now based on your, you know, what you're doing and what you're hearing?
I'm seeing it in a couple different ways. So first of all, there a lot of times it's just an advertisement for a generalist. We want somebody to come in and help us with, you know, a specific process. So we might be moving from a legacy learning management system to a new learning management system. We've got people in place who don't understand how to make that change, and we need to move a bunch of files, migrate data from one place to another. So I've been called in on projects like that. And stuff is usually broken because it's on a network, and there stuff needs to be realigned and refixed. It may need new voiceovers or other pieces like that. So that's one type of issue. Another issue is we're implementing a new technology, or we're implementing a new practice. And we need to get people on board right away with whatever that is. So it could be a new technology. It could be, you know, we're just bringing SharePoint on and people don't know how to use it. And so, or for American Express, they a while ago, they were bringing on a new system. I was hired to go in and work with their HR department on implementing that change. And it was an out-of-the-box solution that was being highly customized that had some training components to it. It can be anything like that to, you know, we are an organization who we need to develop a managerial program. We've got people that we're promoting. We're seeing something over and over again, a behavior that we want to change. We need to create some learning around that to help ameliorate all of that and to get everybody onto the same page. It just varies. So onboarding programs, HR, technology, a lot of times it's a specialized department that does its own thing. And it's highly special. This is a highly specialized piece where maybe somebody needs to be the subject matter expert as well as understanding how to create the design. And so there's usually some sort of a team involved as well, depending on whatever the focus is for the learning.
So here's a question I've got, you know, and if somebody's out there of our listeners and they're interested in e-learning and becoming an instructional designer, share how much of an importance is there on you. I mean, how easy or not easy is it to be an instructional designer and you're designing e-learning or training that you really don't know a lot about? Like if you're doing like computer training, how much do you need to know about the training that you're putting the program together for? I'm kind of curious. Or can that be done?
That's an excellent question. And typically, so right now I'm kind of in that situation with Java. So I'm learning a lot now about Java. I'm learning the language and the different aspects of it. So if I'm looking for the ideal person who's going to be an instructional designer, I'm going to be looking for somebody who's really good at working in a team and has idea of how to resource a good subject matter expert in the environment so that they can call that person if they're struggling. And the subject matter expert for this case is somebody who's a Java programmer. So we're looking for somebody who really is knowledgeable about Java, who when the learning is being built, I can create a storyboard for that. So that I'm going through each of those, this heavy analysis process, so that I understand what is needed in the learning. And then I'm really passing that back to a subject matter expert who is going through each of the pieces and making sure that everything is accurate, you know, quality and veracity. Those are the pieces that I'm really looking for. And then just nurturing that relationship. So somebody who works well in a team, somebody who has an ability to be just open to learning, and somebody who is willing to be open to some ambiguity. And as women, I think this is really a naturalistic place for us, because I think women tend to live naturally in some ambiguity in a lot of situations. And
totally
we
agree.
Fight our way out of that. We naturally kind of live in that place, and we're naturally always kind of fight our way out of it. And that's a quality in an instructional designer that's really positive.
Love it. And, you know, that's a great answer, because I was thinking, boy, you know, I mean, you have to know everything to be an instructional designer. And what you're saying is you don't. You know, you can go in as long as you could find the answers and kind of think workflow and systems. One question
and
I've got about the future. I'm sorry.
I wanted to say, too, this is so I've heard you talking with other women about building their networks in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Instructional design is a great place to do that. It's a great way to do that, because if you're an instructional designer working with subject matter experts in other areas of the organization, you're going to get to know a lot of people. And those people are going to be key people who might help you in your career if you decide that instructional design isn't where you want to advance. You know, you don't want to kind of go forward in your career with that. You want to go into another part of the organization, is a naturalistic place to be with that.
Love that. You know, and I'm thinking of the future, because, you know, to me, it's like training was always face-to-face, in person, you know, and I know productivity and efficiency-wise, it's really good because people are at their workplaces. We live in a global 24/7 environment. But what are your thoughts on the idea? How different is it, you know, when you're learning, let's say, on a webinar versus face-to-face? I mean, are there different types of programs that should be done face-to-face and others that should be done, let's say, via a webinar or online? Or does it really matter because it's all over the board? Kind of curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it depends on the topic. I really love a blended learning approach that's cohort-based. And I think it depends on the needs of the organization. So if you just are bringing somebody in, and I don't mean just, if you're bringing somebody, a new hire in, and you want to teach them some basic onboarding or, like, you know, sexual harassment do's and don'ts, that might be more of an appropriate place for an e-learning module. And there are e-learning modules all around that where, you know, this is what you do when you get into the organization. This is what you don't do. This is how you conduct yourself. This is, you know, and there's quizzes that can be built into all of that. This is, again, done in Storyline 2 or another type of e-learning tool. And there's typically a voiceover that's done, which, by the way, I also do and edit all of that. So I will throw that in. And I teach that as well. So in my certificate program, I teach people those end-to-end pieces. So that I could see that being completely e-learning.
Right.
Another place,
right.
I really can see blended opportunities. So a blended opportunity, and this is like a cohort-based, and again, goes back to what the organization wants to accomplish. So say you really want to start building communities across the organization, and I was involved in a project like this where they brought a cohort from all over a state to one location, and the organization wanted to do this every quarter. They wanted to bring people, a single cohort of like 30 people, to a specific environment for in-person teaching. And this was completely to build capacity in the organization. It was leadership training. You know, let's look at our practice, let's incorporate some innovation, generational aspects, some servant leadership, emotional intelligence. There were specific topics that were going to be taught in person. And then another piece of it was going to be delivered online. And the online piece was going to be with some call-in where people called in from around the state, and they were going to be participate through like a some type of a webinar or like a go-to meeting type of setting and share a conversation. And that was going to save cost to the organization because it could bring everybody together without having to fly people places. So, I mean, I think depending on what it is that the organization needs in that situation and how cost-effective the organization wants to be, I can see a lot of efficiency with an e-learning type of course as well. So,
and, you know, I know we're almost out of time, and I'm like, a question I've got is, are there any, you know, do you see any difference that, you know, people learn more effectively or not as much, whether they're in person in a room or if they're sitting on a, you know, on a digital kind of learning platform? Because to me, it's like, I don't always pay attention as well when I'm on a webinar as I do when I'm face-to-face in a meeting. That's just me. I'm kind of curious what statistics are out there from an e-learning standpoint.
So statistically, I could see that an instructor-led training might be better for some learners. I mean, if we look at, you know, Gardner's and multiple intelligences, some people have a naturalistic type of learning style that is more accommodating of one type of learning or another. But I think that the key to a really effective e-learning is to make sure that it's hitting, there's multimedia aspects to it. There's a video aspect. There's something where people have to click. And from a generational perspective, where we've got the millennials who are digital natives, and they really embrace that technology, they want to learn through their iPhones. They want a social media aspect to their learning. They want to respond through Twitter, you know, to in a conversation with 140 characters. I think that,
wow,
as we look at what e-learning is going and the future of our workplace, this is going to become more and more prevalent. And again, it is something that I think about it and as I think about the future, I want the learning that I create and the learning that I teach other people to create to be really focused on figuring out ways to be engaging for that type of learner. What's going to really move that type of learner when I know that they are digital natives? That's where their focus is. So
pretty powerful stuff, Cheryl. Pretty powerful. You know, and I want to ask, because we're on just a minute left, it's like how, you know, people are interested and they want to raise their hands and connect with you. What's the best way for people to reach you and share your contact information, how you want to be approached?
Okay, so please, you can email me at sharon@leadershipviadesign.com. I do have an interactive website where people can leave comments at leadershipviadesign.com. If somebody wants to bring me into a project, please 949-313-7569. That's my business phone, and I would be more than happy to have a conversation and help organizations figure out how they want to approach learning going forward.
That's so cool. And I just want to make sure all of our listeners know Sharon's got a certificate program, which I hope you will take advantage of or find out more information. And Sharon, I want to say thank you because that's our show for today. And I can't thank you enough for giving us some really good information because I'm excited about learning again. So to our listeners, thanks for listening in as we're going to be back again next Friday. Meeting lady next Friday is going to be Kate Carroll, who is the Director of Global Process at Ingram Micro. And I find this fascinating. That's a great dovetail, Sharon, from what we had on the show today, is Kate is in charge of Global Process, but she's going to be talking about corporate learning programs that drive results. And she actually is internally in a company where she's doing some training. So for that, to our listeners, I hope you have a great weekend. We will be back again next Friday. I hope everyone has a wonderful week. And please remember one thing, and that is our sole mission in CWI is to see more women lead in business. And please support one another as professional women. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate
a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.